Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Batch. I'm Julia.
And I'm Becca.
We're best friends and lifelong Star Wars fans, and this is a Star Wars narrative analysis podcast.
It sure is. This is a special episode because we're back to talking about Clone Wars.
Fuck yeah, we are.
We will be talking about the Malevolence arc of Clone Wars, which is episodes 2, 3, and 4 of season one.
Yes. Yes, correct.
Okay. So we're going to depart from our usual like plot characters themes because these episodes are... I would say there's not much meat for those things to really dive into a whole discussion about plot characters.
Sure.
Themes.
I also feel like it would probably get repetitive considering we're going to be doing a bunch of these like Clone Wars sort of mini episodes. Yeah. So like it's at the end of the day, it's all Clone Wars. It's all the same show. Yeah. So
we've come up with a rubric to help us stay a little bit more on topic, and we're introducing a rating. So we'll be giving each of these episodes or arcs a rating out of 5. Our categories include fun. Did you have fun watching it? Creativity, like how unique or novel is this episode, is the arc, are the characters. Our third category is just Star Wars.
I love that.
How Star Wars is it? Does it add or subtract to the universe? And art, any fun stuff with the visuals or characters? And then just like a rogue bonus points option category, which is just like, did it do anything that really we're like, I like this a lot. I'm giving it bonus points. And then at the end, we'll, of course, we'll give it a rating out of 5 based on the average of those categories. We will be making a template on our socials, and feel free to give the episode a rating yourself if you would like to use our silly little rubric. But yeah, that's the change in these little minisodes.
I feel like we wanted to have something that was kept this like fun and light and goofy, because this is a fun, light and goofy show.
Absolutely.
So not necessarily something that's so strict about like, did this plot move me as a person?
Also, the show just fun and goofy sometimes.
Yeah, you know, let's keep it light, let's keep it fun. We got a bonus point section for no reason, and I'm loving it. But you know,
I've also like given our bonus points section a nickname that says he's a 10, but
yeah,
you know the meme.
Yeah,
you're familiar with the meme. He's a 10, but he has a toe growing out of his forehead.
Damn,
what's his rating now? A 12,
and that's a bone. That's actually a positive.
It's actually a positive.
All right, so Malevolence arc, which we can rattle through quickly, is the first arc in Clone Wars, because the first episode is Ambush, the single Yoda clones
an episode I'll never watch again.
What's so funny to me is that like when I started watching Clone Wars, because we watched the movie together, we rented it was the last time I ever went to a Blockbuster, and we rented it on DVD.
Really formational in our friendship.
Yeah, it was like really early when we were hanging out, but we rented the Clone Wars movie and we watched it, and you're like, so there's a show, and I'm like, oh my god. So I went and like pirated the episodes, and I used to watch them in like 720p or something like that on like some shitty pirating website, and I cannot believe that I watched Ambush and said, this is something I really want to invest my time in. Like, I was like dazzled immediately by Clone Wars, and it's so funny to me that Ambush is the first episode. I guess probably what really I liked was going into the Malevolence arc and just being like, oh, look at these fun and funky characters that I know and love.
Yeah,
they have fun banter, like, and we get like more Ahsoka, and there's like, you know, there's stakes, and like it's just kind of, it was Star Wars that I liked in bite-sized pieces, and I think that's probably what really grabbed me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the show before The Clone Wars, which was just Clone Wars.
Oh, the micro series?
Yes, was very much that, but it was like, I guess I want to say a little bit more like for younger children.
Oh, for sure.
Probably. I mean, I discovered the show first, I think, and then realized there was a movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I was like 11, and I saw the ad on Cartoon Network, and I'm like, that is up my alley. Actually, I saw literally like the first episode that I ever saw was what is that? Dooku Captured?
Yeah, Dooku Captured.
Which remains one of my favorite episodes.
It's so wild.
But yeah, no, I just love that they took these characters and put them in fun little situations.
Yeah, the whole show is little fun characters and fun little situations. Yeah. And
but
boy,
can
howdy.
We talk about how amazing, as like a show angled toward kids, obviously, they were like, we're not going to pull punches, though. Like, we are going to jump into an arc, like a 3-part arc.
Yeah. That you have to watch week to week.
Yeah. No, and it's
on
like,
TV.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. You know how TV works?
You remember TV? You remember how you used to have to wait for time to watch things?
Yeah. No, but I actually think that's like really indicative of like the quality of this show that they just jumped into this arc.
Yeah.
And it's a, like let's talk about like the fun plot.
Yeah.
I love a like a separatist evil design. I mean, it's like basically like Death Star light.
Yeah. It's precursor Death Star.
Yeah. I like that we're adding some flavor to the universe in this giant ship that they've made that basically takes all of the electronic power out of your ship.
Yeah, it's an EMP cannon.
Yes.
I guess it's called an ion cannon, but yeah, no, it's just like, I think it strikes the really like what we, after, you know, going forward, understand about Clone Wars, which is like, it is, I don't know, a kind of a show of silly, goofy, like separatist on Republic crazy stuff happening.
Yeah.
But like always, there's always something kind of silly about it, I think. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's really funny to have a ship that shoots a huge ion cannon in only one direction.
Yeah.
And like, and it's dire. Like we have people being like, I don't know if I'm going to end up dead. And like, we see, well, I mean, like the dead clones floating in space. And all
like
this.
It's a little horrifying, but also like, yeah, it does kind of maintain the silliness, but like, no, I think that like the, I think that like the escalation, each of these episodes in this arc are really good. Like we get a really good introduction to it in this first one where like it's Plo Koon and his squadron gets like decimated and then they think they're dead. And then I love too that it jumps immediately to like Ahsoka and Anakin. And Anakin is just like, listen, we're going to do the council meeting. And then Ahsoka says something like, we have to go help him. I love Master Plo Koon.
Yeah.
And Anakin was like, you need to stop. And then he's like, we were going to do that anyway. You just have to like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
I think it's very charming and funny. It characterizes the characters well immediately. Yeah. Like, again, we're kind of like in uncharted territory when this first came out because like we knew these characters, but we didn't know how they were going to be in an animated TV format. And I feel like they established relationships between characters and the types of people that they were really well immediately with mm-hmm. that, with those conversations with the Jedi Council. Yeah. And the fact that like Anakin and Ahsoka just like fuck off
it
immediately.
So
and they're all like, oh, Anakin and Ahsoka fucked off, huh?
And then like yeah. exactly 0.5 seconds after that happens, Obi-Wan is just like, calls Anakin and is like, where are, like, are we need this and this from you. And he's like, yeah, we'll get there. And he's like, where are you? And what are you doing?
He's like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
No, it's exactly that level of like banter and like the relationship that these characters have and are allowed to kind of have in this show because we're like taking a microscope and sort of like looking at them that I think is extremely fun.
Yeah, I think it was really like a foundational set of episodes for the rest of the show because I think it established like the idea of having story arcs over multiple episodes mm-hmm. of what kind of like themes that we wanted to play on, which was a lot of like obviously separatist bad guys, Republic good guys at yeah. first. It kind of got more nuanced as time went on and people I think grew up with the show, but like yeah. it's fun that it's like it's goofy, it's quirky, we're still like fighting bad guys, but like, you know, what really is the core of this show is character relationships. And especially like I think they established, I mean obviously there was a movie before this, so like with Ahsoka we kind of already knew what their relationship was
yeah.
but like I think we kind of understand,
well, we knew what the like concept of the relationship was yeah. Master Padawan
yeah,
but we get closer looks into like how their specific
yeah.
relationship
and
works.
I love that immediately we get, and this is kind of like my favorite way to look at, you know, the sort of like Anakin Ahsoka relationship, is that Anakin is Ahsoka's teacher and therefore like in charge of her, but they're so close in age
yes.
that they're like, it's really fucking crazy and stupid sometimes, like how they are like the same, like they're both incredibly immature and they're just like,
very
we're gonna do what we want
yeah.
yeah, but like, and I love that Anakin has the audacity to be like, Ahsoka, you can't talk to people like that, you can't do that, you have to listen to the masters, and then he's like wink, you know,
yeah,
and then they go like fuck off and Obi-Wan's yeah. like god damn it, like I think like that's so much of the charm of this show and what yeah. I loved about it, because it is simultaneously like two kids aggravating Obi-Wan who's just like god damn it, and then also Obi-Wan kind of joining in the like
exactly.
the wild stuff.
I was gonna say he's not he is also part of this sort of like aggravation
they're all fucking off and just yeah. being like, I see you Jedi Council, I'm gonna turn the other direction,
yeah,
you know
yeah.
and I don't know, like it's so charming and
it's very charming.
I feel like, and again there was a movie before this, but like I don't really feel like they wasted a bunch of time in this being like, we're going to take a lot of time to explain what's going on in the world. It's just like, I don't know, General Grievous is here and he's up to something. You know, you know that guy. And like, not to mention, I fucking love General Grievous. Like, he's one of my favorite Star
he's
Wars
such
characters.
He's such a good character.
And I love that they added a bunch of stuff to him
yeah.
in this. Like, granted, it's not always, gray, like in the it's not always like, wow, look at his deep motivations, but it's like, I don't think he's a character that necessarily needs deep motivations.
This is a silly, goofy, fun show for the most part.
Yeah, like, I mean, it gets grim. Like,
it gets a little grim for sure.
Like, I love that we're like, oh, it's silly, goofy, fun, it's so fun, and then like smash cut to us sitting on the couch embracing each other sobbing, yeah, exactly, at the end of season 7. Yeah.
Smash cut to all the times people fucking jump off of roofs and kill themselves.
God, yeah. The amount of weird violence in this show yeah, for children. Probably. But mostly it's silly goofy. It's
silly goofy, it's fine.
Yeah, I think these like episodes are really fun.
They
like,
are a lot of fun.
They are definitely fun. What would you give it on a fun scale?
On a fun scale, I'd probably give it like a 4.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
3.5. Let's say 3.5.
3.5. Okay. I'm gonna write this down.
Okay.
In a note on the side.
Oh, okay.
Okay. How creative do we think these things are?
Honestly, okay, I think I'm going to give these three episodes a 4 in creativity. I mean, I love like a big cannon weapon, a big like, oh no, our enemy has a huge thing that like we have to defeat. We don't know. It's like a huge, I don't know.
It does feel like it. And this kind of plays into the next category, which is how Star Wars is it? It feels like we took Death Star and we said we see you, but what if we did something funky and different?
What was like precursor to Death Star?
Yeah, the precursor to the Death Star.
Yeah, fully.
I also think like it's fun in the thought that we have or creative, I guess. I just use the word fun a lot. I love these shows.
Hey, it's
fun
and goofy.
Do you like the energy that we're trying to bring to this?
Which is like talk real fast so we can get all of the information in before 30 minutes is up.
Because we're sweating. I think it's really cool that there's like a lot of different like perspectives, and as the episodes go on we're like seeing this foundational, the thing that brings the episodes together is there is this separatist like weapon that we need to destroy, and I like that it does kind of escalate over the episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in one episode there's like a medical station they need to save, and like, and then another episode there's like, you know, we need to save Plo Koon and his guys, and like they do an asteroid field run, which I think is great, and like, I don't know, like I think the way that they told this story was like very novel to,
yeah, there's absolutely no dead space. There's not like,
it's actually, there's a lot that goes on.
There's
in
a
the
whole bunch. We hadn't watched these in a long time. We rewatched them for this and we were like, damn, this is actually like, it feels longer than what the 20 minutes that they are.
Yeah, it's like 26 minutes per episode.
In all time, it's what, an hour of TV?
Hour and a half ish?
Yeah. No, it's exactly an hour. Well, if it's 20 minutes.
Oh, if it's 20 minutes. Well, some of them are like 26. It's okay. Like just over an hour.
Yeah. They actually like shove in a lot of stuff. I'm a particular fan of the second and third episodes in this arc. I really like Destroy Malevolence a lot. I feel like...
Oh, that's called Destroy Malevolence.
Because they're destroying it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I think that one has top-tier banter, and I think it... There's a lot of creativity, I think, in the process of how this big ship is destroyed.
Yeah.
And how they're being chased constantly. It's creative how they get to the ship. I think how they're being chased constantly by Grievous, like, within the ship. The fact that, like... Darth Sidious brings Padme in. Like, I love the inclusion of Padme too, because like, again, establishing relationships. They're like, first of all, Anakin and Padme are gonna be front and center here.
Yeah,
we all know this.
Yeah,
very funny.
I love the
very,
kind of
sorry, yes. Very funny when Padme gets brought in and Anakin is just like, Padme, what are you doing here in front of like
everyone,
Obi-Wan, Admiral Yularen, Ahsoka, yeah, everybody, and then just like, who do you think you are fooling?
Yeah.
Like, I love that sort of funny, goofy,
I was going to say that.
Everyone
like,
knows.
I love that they established, maybe not to our kid brains, but I think to our adult brains so early on, because this comes up in season 7, too, where, like, they're not being subtle
at all
about the fact that they're shtippin' and in a relationship, like, at all. They are the least subtle people. Like, I think Padme has some... you know,
yes,
grace maybe in that situation, but Anakin is so loud,
so unsubtle.
I don't think they have a chance, but maybe they're just so in love they're blinded. They're like, no one will know. Of
no,
course,
like,
we're
no,
being so is, secretive,
we're just friends,
and they're
and
like making out in the hallway. It's like, you guys, we all know.
I love the silly goofy them, like when they find each other on the Malevolence and they're like about to kiss, and then somebody calls Anakin or Padme or whatever. It's like, your droid is like fucked up or something.
Yeah, we also get like some C-3PO and R2-D2 action in this one. It really, this episode feels a lot like, I mean, it is kind of insane to me how well they were able to capture the essence of like the prequel movies in like a couple episodes of a TV show, because we have like the crazy, it feels very episode 2 Droid Factory, mm-hmm. like in this, the interior of the ship with like these trains and like all of this shit, like conveyor belts and stuff happening.
Yeah. I think that is one of the reasons I think I'm going to give it a 4 for creativity.
Great.
Very good.
I just, I don't know. It's a good time. It's a good watch. I mean, it is definitely, it does feel a little long sometimes, but yeah, I enjoyed these episodes. All right. So the Star Warsiness of it. So, you know, how Star Wars is this episode of Star Wars? I think per what I was just talking about, it feels very episode 2. It feels very prequel trilogy. I think they really like took that and were able to like put it into a completely different medium with completely different actors surprisingly well.
Yeah.
I think we talk about this a lot in the reverse when it comes to putting animated characters into live action shows. Like, we obviously have reviewed Ahsoka and Obi-Wan and all of this stuff. And I feel like there's always kind of like a disconnect because it's like we're trying to make silly, goofy characters serious again. Like in the case of like Obi-Wan, he's kind of gone through a real evolution with that.
Yeah.
It's wild though that in the reverse they're weirdly able to capture the spirit of these characters in animation like fairly fully. Well,
yeah,
like it's just kind of wild. Like, I don't know, there's no doubt in my mind that these are the characters that are from the movies.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe it's like the writing as well.
I think,
but
they translated it extremely well to like an animated show geared more towards children.
Yeah.
But then did really age with with
absolutely
us.
I feel like giving it, I don't know, a high Star Wars score.
I think high Star Wars score too. You've got these big weapon, you've got all your characters bantering, silly little things happen with the droids. It's pretty camp sometimes.
Yeah.
And no, that's as we've said before, camp is essential to Star Wars. Yeah. So what are you going to give it?
Maybe like a 4.5. This is hard for me because I never want to give stuff a 5 because I'm like, what if there's something better? But to be fair, it's not a comparative score.
No.
Like, it's not like, well, this episode got a 5 and this episode got a 4. So that means this other one is better. We can just keep them loose and separate from each other. So
as we all know, this is a really serious podcast.
This is a serious, we're doing serious Star Wars
this
work.
Is journalism.
Yeah.
No, it's silly goofy.
It is silly goofy. I love it. Okay, we can give it up. I feel like it's very Star Warsy.
It is very Star Wars. Okay. 4.5 feels good to me.
4.5, let's do it. All right. We'll talk about the art. I guess that's my department.
It sure is.
I feel like, and I've made this reference a lot on our various podcasting adventures, the visuals of early Clone Wars, I will say, kind of rough. But I will say, for the time, pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't think there were a lot of, per my knowledge, a lot of 3D animated TV shows at that point. That was 2008. Especially on the start on Cartoon Network. Most of them were 2D, like animated, probably mm-hmm. in Toon Boom. But yeah, I think it's it's hard because it's one of those things that you're always going to look at 3D animation and judge it based on what is currently happening because it's what the prevailing method of animation is right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty good. I will say there's some crazy lighting that they do early on in this show, which is actually kind of more what I want to talk about. But
go for it.
Again, I want to keep this... Like, let's judge it based on, you know, the time and the enjoyment of it. Like, sometimes
let's
things are...
keep it in its context.
Yes. So crunchy and so hi-fi that it's kind of, like, hard to look at. Like, there are some scenes on the bridge of the Separatist ship that are like, what is... It's so bright. It hurts because they're next to that red sun. I like that, though, as an idea of, like, motivated lighting. Like, it makes things look really cool. Like, especially when they do these shots in space with, like, the debris of the ships, you have this crazy super red and then the shadows being the opposite color, super blue, cool toned shadows. And like, because this is kind of a weird technical thing, there's no like occlusion, so there's no like lighting that is,
it's a harsh line.
Yes,
the shadows,
it's not like we're lighting things
diffused.
Like diffused rounded lighting. I mean, to be fair, a lot of these objects are really blocky, but it was just also like the thing, the ability of 3D animation at the time was not necessarily to have super super complicated lighting schemes like that. You can see this a lot in early Pixar stuff too, so you get this incredibly graphic looking, and I mean that in the graphic design sense, not graphic like grotesque.
It's grotesque,
it's disgusting. almost like look to a lot of things because of how bright they made that red light. I actually kind of like it though. There are some scenes where I'm like, maybe tone it down a little bit, like when we're trying to look at characters. But like when we're in space and you're seeing like a debris field, it's kind of cool to have these extremely angular, sharp sort of vibes going on.
It feels,
I don't know,
really accurate to like how some space images look, where it's very where, like, unearthly, extremely weird to your senses that you've only seen.
You're
only
getting lighting from like one direction.
Literally only from one direction.
Yeah, because you're not getting light from like 99% of space, essentially.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. And like, I mean, this is the first one we're reviewing, so like I will say we can briefly talk about character design. I think they did a really interesting, fun job with the style of this show. Again, like the fidelity of something, essentially like the how detailed something is, how realistic something is an interesting, like how they stylized it in this show is really interesting, like the art direction of it. Because again, you're trying to take real people and dilute them down into something that's really basic that your programs can handle and also are recognizable as characters, but in a way that's like simplified. Mm-hmm. I really like the style of this show. I really like how it evolved over time too. Like, I think we have a very pretty version of this now when we talk about things like Bad Batch or Tales of the Jedi or season 7 of Clone Wars, right? I love that this is like the intro of it. And like, yeah, sometimes the textures on things look, make them look dirty, you know, like it's very brushstrokey.
Yes.
But I like it. I like that they had a definite style. I love that they were like, we know what we want this show to be and it's this, you know?
I think having a definite style is always better than just trying to make things look as realistic as possible, because guess what? You're never going to get there, and it's always going to look uncanny valley.
I mean, even now with the graphics that we have in video games that are pretty, pretty close to real life, sometimes depending on like how you render them, oh my God, they're still uncanny though. Yep. You still look at stuff and you're like, that person's eyes are like not
something wrong
right
with them.
Their peepers are a little fucked up. So like, I do really love it. And then, you know, special art shout out to Obi-Wan's crystalline eyes that are insane and not a color.
They're
but
like
I love it.
Pools of like tropical ass water.
Yeah. That are completely clear. Like you can see the bottom. It's crazy. Anyway, so like for art, it's hard because I think for the most part, there's like kind of a base level with these episodes because they're all the same for a while. They're pretty the same.
Yeah.
But then I guess anything like fun that went over and above, I'll give it a solid like 3.5, maybe 4, 3.5.
3.5 is good.
Okay.
Because I think the most interesting thing was like the lighting with that red sun.
Yeah.
I think all of the other parts of the other episodes are pretty much either on a ship or, you know.
Yeah, the lighting. I talked about this. I don't remember when. Early Bad Batch episodes for us, where it's funny to see how much the lighting on spaceships has improved in the current style of these shows, because it's so much better. Like you have multiple light sources that are a lot softer. It makes the lighting a lot better, or you can motivate it to like match the emotions of the scene. Early Clone Wars, everything is overhead fluorescent lighting and everyone is too shiny for some reason and it kind of hurts.
Yeah, no, it's a little hard to look at sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So little 3.5, little 0.5 shout out for like a creative decision.
Hell yeah.
Wasn't always great, but it was fine.
It was a decision and they stuck to it.
All right. Any bonus points that you want to award?
Okay. So here's how I think we should do bonus points. Yeah. I think we should pick out little bits of the episode that we're just going to give an arbitrary score to.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's kind of the fun of the bonus points.
Yeah.
Category,
yeah. Yeah. So. Sort of a round robin.
Yeah. My bonus points that I'm awarding is strictly for the dialogue interchange when Obi-Wan and Anakin are going on to the Malevolence and they like dock at that weird side dock that they think no one's going to notice. And then it like cuts to a door opening and they're supposed to be like mid conversation. and Obi-Wan just goes, Anakin, spinning is not flying. Because we quote that probably 3 times a week.
Anakin,
spinning is not flying.
I feel like anytime anyone says A, the word Anakin, or B, the word spinning, probably also flying.
Those are like our sleeper agent words.
Our activation words.
For us to just say that phrase. It's really funny. It's a hallmark of one of my favorite things about Clone Wars, which is the stupid banter. And by stupid, I mean like stupid fun. That I think I, as an 11 to present...
11 to what demographic age group are you? 11 to present.
I just like loved so much. It's so camp. It's so Star Wars. It's so silly. They somehow bridged, like with this one dialogue, they somehow bridged like the rest of Star Wars and like the silly parts of the prequels, I think, really well.
Yeah,
they carried
giving,
that in. Really
what's
good.
What's that one part? In episode 3, there's a dialogue exchange like that when they're flying in their little fighter ship.
Oh, yeah.
Where, I don't know, Anakin and Obi-Wan are going off about something, but it's definitely something
very
similar.
Very reminiscent of that. I don't know. How should we do bonus points? Because it has to be out of 5.
It does have to be out of 5.
What's your bonus point? award that you're giving your bonus
points
to?
Because I am not remembering anything specifically fun. I mean, I love just in general the dialogue in this episode. Yeah. I think it's great. Bonus points maybe. I love the Ahsoka Anakin relationship of like, do as I say, not as I do.
Very good.
But also both of them just sort of like for fun middle fingering each other, just being like, I fucking love and hate you. I don't know.
There's also a really funny that actually made me did make me laugh out loud when we were watching it, where it's like R2-D2 and C-3PO like walking the halls of the Malevolence being like, we have to figure out how to get back to Anakin or whatever, and R2-D2 is like, well, let's just he probably says like something like, let's just keep going or whatever, and C-3PO is just like, I think we should just stay here and do nothing. Anakin opens the door. It's just like right there. It's just like, C-3PO, why are you just standing around doing nothing? I don't know. That really hit me in the funny bone.
I guess also bonus points, we do get the intro of, I believe, Wolf in this episode, yeah. The clone. Mm-hmm. We have like some, oh, you know what? Bonus points, great clone haircuts.
Oh my God.
We have landing strip. We got, for some reason, one with old man white hair.
We have to keep
precursor
a running
hair.
Tally of the weird ass facial hair that somebody's clones
there's,
have.
I think there's someone with the three goatee of like three strips goatee. It's really bad.
Three landing strips to Kiss Town.
Yeah. What else? Like bonus points for the fact that somehow they can open that escape pod and not kill the guy who doesn't have a helmet.
Listen, don't worry about it.
Every time we watch these. It's like, how do they get outside? First of all, I'm pretty sure we know that those helmets are not airtight.
We do. Yeah.
Despite the fact that sometimes they are, but sometimes they're not. Because when they go in the Water War episodes, they have like the helmets oxygen tank tubes on them. So they're not airtight.
No.
Because they would need to breathe. And if they couldn't, they would need air tanks. But like, every time we watch this, I'm like,
how
science magic did you use?
They're just like, don't pay attention.
Don't worry. That guy in the inside, he's alive. It's fine. We didn't want to have to see him sucked out into space and then freeze. Even though we will do that with other guys.
Fully.
I don't know. Okay, so maybe the weight of bonus point. How good do you feel about these bonus points?
I feel really strongly about my bonus points. I'm gonna say four.
Four? I mean, I think that's great. We got a blonde clone, we got a red hair clone, we got a white hair clone,
the banter,
Wolf,
the weird clones. Solid four.
Solid four. I mean, I love having a rubric that is light. We just are like, it's for fun.
I like having 4 points of our rubric be actual points, and then the last point is just like, extra. How can we justify fucking up our rubric that we made?
I kind of love having a rogue element in this because I feel like it feels in the spirit of this show, which it feels like great, great, great rogue element, you know?
Yeah.
Have a bunch of really heartfelt clones episodes or main trio episodes, and then rogue element, droids episode, senators episode. I love it. Anyway, all right, anything else you want to talk about?
That was it.
Damn, easy breezy. We're really...
What is it, 18 and a half?
19.5 divided by 5.
I was so wrong.
All right, so we've tallied it up. And this episode, the Malevolence arc, it gets a 3.9.
Which feels low
stars
for having...
Stars out of Star Wars.
Are they stars? Should we do lightsabers or let's pick a new thing every time?
Oh yeah, what do you
think? This is 3.9 weird clone facial hair out of
five clone facial. This is 3.9 ion cannons out of 5.
Out of 5 ion cannons.
It's beautiful. We loved it. It's incredibly average, which makes sense for this early but like fundamental but early episode of Clone Wars.
Yes.
I'm assuming a lot is going to be 3.9.
I think fundamental is a good way to describe this.
Yeah. It's
necessary
and foundational
but at the same time a 3.9.
It promises better things to come. I will say it's fun.
Yeah,
I don't watch it all that much.
No,
but it was important and that gave it probably more points.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair score.
Yeah, I think that's fair
for sure.
I love doing our math and just being like, you know what, we were right. All right, that is all for this mini episode. Thank you so much for listening.
We'll be publishing the next part of this series on August 19th, where we will be talking about the episode Rookies.
Hell yeah, clones episode.
So tune in for that. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and also on Instagram at Tumblr at The Batch Pod. And while you're here, if you could leave a review if you like the show and let us know what other episodes of Clone Wars we should review. We have a list so far, but... You know, if you want to see different ones,
we can always add more.
We can always add more for sure.
So if you like story
and you like Star Wars,
then tune in for the next episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Batch.
Bye.